Yes.
Oh, great. Okay, yeah, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot for the introduction and invitation. My name is Di Luo. I'm currently an I5 fellow from MIT. So today I want to talk about some recent research in machine learning and quantum science. Feel free to let me know if any suggestion or anything along the presentation people want to discuss more. So maybe I can give a little bit background on myself as well before I start the discussions. So I'm currently working on the IFA Institute, which is the AI Institute for Artificial Intelligence and Fundamental Interactions. And there I'm working on the topics on AI for quantum many-body physics as well as quantum informations. And also under this institute called C2QA, which is the Co-Design Center for Quantum Advantage, where I'm working on quantum many-body simulations and quantum informations. So in general, I'm very intrigued by this three topics on artificial intelligence, quantum informations, and physics. They all have a lot of interactions these days in these recent years. There's also a lot of nice work I learned from the parameter institutes by talking to people in the group like Rogers and many other peoples. So it's really great that to have this opportunity also to discuss some of the work along this line. So for me, one of my research interests is in one of these directions called AI for quantum science, where I want to investigate the AI and machine learning techniques for high energy physics, condensed matter physics, as well as quantum informations. Meanwhile, I will also very interesting from the perspective of quantum informations for physics, where quantum simulation and quantum information plays a role to understand many of our physical systems. So in particular, I'm interested in developing like analog quantum simulation algorithms over different platforms, for example, dipolar molecules, super atom, fermion pairs, and so on, as well as digital circuits algorithms. But meanwhile, I also interested in this idea for the other hand side, whether we can improve AI by using physics. So here, recently, I'm also working on several work that can actually design better robotic algorithms as generated machine learning models from the physics perspective. But today, I want to focus on the line of research where AI can help for quantum many-body physics as well as quantum simulations. So to start this, I guess, that's one important question in many-body physics is on how to understand or simulate quantum many-body physics. In general, there are two categories. One is on the spectrum calculations, where people are interested in looking for, given a Hamiltonian, people want to look for the ground state or excited state or study the phase diagrams. There's another category of research, which is the real-time evolutions, where there may have tie-dependent Hamiltonian and people want to solve the tie-independent Schrödinger equations. This can also have a lot of interesting phenomena in quantum chaos, quantum circuit simulations, as well as the dynamics of gauge theories. In general, there are like a training for these both kinds of problems. One famous problem is called the psi problem, which is coming from the non-positive real values or complex value in the wave function, but more fundamentally, it's related to the Hamiltonian level, this the gap between the bosonic version and the fermionic version of the Hamiltonian. There's also another challenge called the high dimensional, the curse of high dimensionality, where we know that Hilbert space usually scale exponentially with the number of particles. So that also provides like a challenge for exact simulations using on classical computers. So given today's talk, I mean, it's related to machine learning. So I also also very intrigued by this development of ChatGPT recently, where people also know this large language model is very intelligent these days. So I also asked him these questions, what's the challenge of many body physics simulations? So since this GPT is also recognized, I mean, this is a challenging task. I also noticed that there's also this exponential dimensionality and varies of complete complications. So then given this development of this machine learning, what can we do or can we utilize this power? So before we go into more detail, I think also let me provide a bit background on the existing effort. So one important effort is on quantum Monte Carlo for solving this kind of quantum many-body physics problem. So the main idea here is to try to use sampling to get the information of the high dimensional objects. So for example, for ground state calculation, one can do the imagined tie evolution and then do a chauterization. As long as this 1 million tau divided by NH has no psi problem, then this can be solved efficiently by sampling under some condition. But whenever there's a psi problem, the relative variance of the psi can scale exponentially. So that's another very powerful approach, is the tensor network approach, where people use this like this idea to look for like a low rank tensor decomposition of the high dimensional object. So one can view the wave function as a high rank tensor and then look for various low rank decomposition, such as MPS, G tensor network, PEPS, and so on. So these kind of algorithms are very efficient for one dimensional system due to area law, but training still exists for two or three dimension, high dimension, as well as real time dynamics. Another very like encouraging effort in recent years is coming from quantum computations, which the idea is to try to naturally represent the wave functions and operate on the, this wave function directly on the machine. It includes both the analog quantum computation and as well as the digital quantum computation paradigm. So this is very natural for quantum dynamics that can also be used for ground state problem, even though in general there may be some QMA hard issue, but there's a lot of efforts pushing forward the field. However, the challenge still exists given the current technology and the experiment on this noisy near-term device. So today I want to focus on this approach, I think first under this name called neural quantum state in general. The high-level idea of this state is to try to look for a low-dimensional representation of the wave functions. So let's consider m particle spin one half systems, where the Hamiltonian is the 2 to the m by 2 to the n Hermitian matrix, and the wave function is the 2 to the n vector. So actually, we can think about this 2 to the n vector as a superposition of the 2 to the n configuration of this spin. And this actually is very analogous to this game of gold, where people have this black and white chess, which is just like a spin up and spin down. So we can ask this question, can machine learning actually help to find this best superposition of configurations? So this idea was first proposed by Kallio and Choyat in 2017. Where the main spirit is to have the configuration as the input to a neural network and the output the wave function amplitude. And this is also motivated by this natural universal approximation theorem, such that people hold to look for a good representation of wave functions. And then this approach also can be equipped with the variational principle. And then it comes to this idea called variational Monte Carlo, where the main idea is that one can get the ground state by minimizing a wave function. And this wave function is actually represented by the neural network. And people can perform Monte Carlo sampling on this neural network without side problem, and then evaluate this local energy efficiency. And then they can update the energy as well as the network by this gradient formula. So there are several interesting studies, I mean, a number of, to understand the neural network quantum states. So people found that they can represent the Wernicke state, which seems to have more representation power than like a traditional quantum tensor networks. There's also exact representation for gestural stabilizers and other family of states. So that's also reason we look for the representability, where people notice that for MPS and as well as contractible PEPS means that it's a approximate contraction, it's not exact PEPS because the exact contraction is sharply hot. So those states can be efficiently represented by the neural network quantum state. But that's this neural network quantum state, which may not be easy by represented by tensor network due to some of this Wernicke entanglement expressibility. So recently, we also studied some infinite limits of neural network quantum state by using this technique called quantum state neural tangent kernels. So we can find that show that in the infinite limit, the quantum state supervised learning is guaranteed to converge. As well as we can also use this quantum field theory technique to actually engineer different entanglement behavior of neural network. For example, we can engineer Wernicke entanglement using this closed net state in this work. So that's actually also a lot of assessments and assignments after the development of the neural network, with its application to various of regimes, and some of the very nice were also in parameter, I think, and the beginning of the field. So those are from both the understanding of the representation power as well as the application to solve many body physics as well as quantum information science. So today I want to talk several perspectives of the development that I work on, as well as other people in the field have related works, which under this, I will type the title for content, AI for content. In particular, the first one I want to talk about is on the strongly correlated systems. So one interesting thing I look into is on the Fermi-Onis simulations, where in general, one needs to have an anti-symmetry neural network. So what that means is that whenever the wave function, if we want to exchange two particles, then the wave function needs to have a negative sign. So this is not straightforward for any neural network, because if we just have an input to the neural network and exchange the two inputs, it will not give a negative sign. So in this work, I developed this backflow transformation via neural network for quantum many-body wave function. And this idea was actually inspired by Feynman at the beginning. So let me take a step back to provide a bit more illustration here. So in general, when we solve the Fermi-Onis problem, we can have this hierarchy called the Slater-Jeschow backflow hierarchy. So basically the idea is that for the mean field theory, one can solve it using Slater determinant and then actually automatically satisfy the anti-symmetry. While this is only a mean field theory, so it does not capture the correlation effect. So what people would do next usually would add the Jeschow, which can modify the density. And then Feynman, when he solved the helium problem, he proposed the backflow, which is able to modify the orbital such that it can also change the nodal structures of the wave functions. So more precisely, that actually the question is the following. So in the mean field solution, we have this determinant and the orbital. But then we want to ask the question, can the orbital, instead to become a single particle orbital, it becomes a many-body particle orbital, such that it can capture the correlation effects. So Feynman has some very nice formula for the helium problem, but the general form of the backflow actually is unknown. So in this work, we use the neural network approach to look for the optimal backflow transformation. So the high-level idea is that we want to construct this many particle backflows from a mean field orbital. So this many particle orbital actually is a many-body function. So that what we do is that with the input of the configuration gets to the neural network, and then it outputs the neural network correction to the orbital. And then we put this many particle orbital into the determinant. So the anti-symmetry part will be guaranteed by the determinant. And at the same side, the neural network is able to change the fermion and the size structure directly. And this also allows us to generalize this idea of backflow to arbitrary systems. So we also have these simulations on various models, including Hopper models, Kagame lattice, which also show very good performance. So the high-level idea I want to recap here is that we have developed this anti-symmetry neural network for Fermi-Onis systems, which can also change the size structure directly and generalize arbitrary lattice. We also show that this can be theoretical exact for the universal theorem, and also provides a lower bound for the existing backflow method, which means that for this later Jeschow backflow hierarchy, we can also use one layer's neural network to represent it. So recently, we also generalized to the neural network with the tensor network context with this inspiration, which we call the auto-regressive neural tensor nets. And that's also a very interesting development, I think, very interesting environment in quantum chemistry. People use Fermi-net and Poynet for continuous space calculations, where the idea of incorporating this anti-symmetry is also from the neural network backflow in the generalized to continuous space. So there's a lot of effort along that direction, and it's very encouraging results to reach different molecules. So we recently also have some effort to extend it for solving the Murray systems using this idea, where we actually able to see this very interesting transition from Schrodinger atom to Wigner molecule. As well as there's a very interesting crystal field effect on the Murray system to modify the charge distributions. So that actually more or less concludes the first part, but I want to maybe pause it a bit and see whether people have any ideas want to further discuss. So if not, then maybe I will proceed to talk a little bit more on the extension. So originally, I worked on this simulation on the strongly correlated systems, in particular with electrons. Then actually we know that in the more fundamental physics level, there's always this idea of gauge theory, where the matter field, like the electron, will be coupled to gauge fields. So along this direction, that actually motivated me to further look into this area of simulating gauge theory. So we know that the gauge theory actually plays a very important role in various areas in physics. For example, in high energy physics, the standard model of elementary particles described by QED, QCD. Those are all gauge theories. In condensed matter physics, there's also a lot of important physics like spin liquid and other models also related to gauge theory. And in quantum information, we know that the error correction, where the stabilizer formulations is equivalent to the Gauss law in the gauge theory language. However, the simulation of gauge theory has been known also to be challenged for various reasons. For example, this is also, again, a high-dimensional Hilbert space, and which includes both the matter field as well as the gauge fields. There's also the note of the psi problem, and there was this fermionic matter physics. And one also needs to consider gauge symmetries, which is a very fundamental symmetry to be imposed in the simulations. And one may also need to deal with continuous field variables if this is, for example, the U1 gauge field, and may also need to consider continuum limits, for example, from the lattice to the real theory. So here I will come to the second part, which is the AI for quantum, but with the focus on quantum field theories. So there are several new explorations that I have worked on recently on different approach for simulating the gauge theory as well as the quantum field theories in different contexts. So maybe let me provide a bit more concrete examples. So from what we more familiar with to what that really means by gauge theories coupled to matter. So one interesting model in condensed matter physics have been looked into is called the G2 torical model. So this is a model where the spin lives on the edge. And then one can consider this like a spin interaction of the plaquettes. That's like an osmic zeta. But the interesting things of this theory is that there's a Gauss law operator, which people call the star operator. So this star operator will restrict the space of the problems. So this actually is a simplest version of the gauge theory, which is the G2 lattice gauge theory. So one step forward, actually, people can consider the continuous gauge theory, which one can replace this spin by a continuous variable. So this is a theory of infinite degree of freedom. And then similarly, this Gauss law still exists, but it needs to be modified. So one can further, study QED, which they couple the fermions with gauge theory by putting the matter, which is a fermion, on the vortex. So that actually now becomes a gauge field fermion simulation interaction problems. And then there will not just have infinite degree of freedom of the gauge field, but also there of the fermion-only side problems. Recently, yes, I have been thinking also very intrigued by this problem and developing a different approach to tackle it. So one approach we were on is on the thing called gauge recurrent neural network for quantum lattice gauge theory. So this is starting from the this theory that we talk about, for example, the G2 lattice gauge theory. So that the star operator here, which restricts the wave function to simultaneously satisfy this condition. And this condition is equivalent to the condition that psi GVS is equal to psi S. So this is also not straightforward to neural network, which is somehow similar to this anti-symmetry in the sense that if one just naively put a neural network, that's not possible to satisfy this condition. So in this world, actually, we develop an equivalent approach, which we can show exactly the neural network satisfies this approach for a number of models. For example, the Z2 torical model, as well as all the Zn torical model, the Fredholm models, and a number of models. And later, we also take a further step forward, which now we just not work with discrete gauge group, but we can also work with continuous gauge group. So there we now need to generalize this Gauss law by a Gauss law which can infinitesimal shift this variable. So this is like the analogy of the classical Maxwell equations where we can have this temporal gauge, we shift this variable and the theory does not change. So there we also benchmark our methods with the complex Gaussian. We show that we have also a better performance. So furthermore, we also have another approach, which we call gauge invariant and the only symmetry autoregressive neural network for quantum lattice model. So this approach is also more broad and provides another idea to actually construct autoregressive neural network that can satisfy gauge constraints as well as algebraic constraints with application to quantum models, torical, Fredholm, and anionic models. So the high level idea is that we can actually represent the wave function as the autoregressive wave function, which is like a conditional wave functions. And then we impose the symmetry in these conditional wave functions. And then we actually can apply this to compute the central charge of the anionic system, simulate the 1+1 DQED dynamics. So we further extend this approach to 2+1D very recently, where we developed the called the gauge fermion flow net. Which is able to represent the U1 gauge theory without cutoff, obeying the Gauss law, samples without autocorrelation time.
We have a question.
Oh, okay, sure.
How do you train? Do you use Bayesian multiplier to train the wave function?
Can I? I didn't hear the question very clearly. Maybe can someone help to repeat?
How do you train the model? And how
did
you
raise it? Yeah, it seems that the sound is not clear from the conference. Maybe it's better if one can.
So the question is how do you train the model? Is the regression on color?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I see. Yeah, thanks for the question. So here, in general, we don't use the data from existing experiment or things, but we use, for example, variational Monte Carlo, such that we start from the principle of those models, like these Hamiltonians, and then we compute the ground state energy using these answers. For the real tie dynamics, we can consider some approach like a tie dependent variational principle, but here we use another mathematical formulation that's equivalent to TDVP but different, which I will also talk about later. Yeah.
Can I also ask some?
Yeah.
So can you elaborate a little bit more on how you enforce these like gauge constraints in the autoregressive sampling? Like,
oh yeah, sure.
How does this work?
Yeah. So this is a very good point. So the key insight we have here is that whenever we factorize this into autoregressive model, so this is something like a local property because it's just the condition on things before. So then we notice that we can have this idea of something we call composite particle. So let me take a simpler example. For example, let's consider this G2 lattice gauge theory. So we know that this gauge constraint, as we call the gauge symmetry, actually is a local symmetry. So that means that the wave function only to satisfy this locally. So that means in the autoregressive model, we can actually impose this locality into this conditional part because this conditional part is already somehow local, right? So we just, it's sufficient to just put a mask or relative technique in this conditional part to include this locality. So that's the key insight, as long as this symmetry is local.
Okay, yeah, got it.
Yeah. But still, we can also do global symmetry using this technique. For example, this anion, we have the SU23 anion, but we can extend it to SU2K anion, and then finally, when K goes to infinity, we get back to the global J, this SU2 symmetry. We recently take one more step further. So this theory is the theory that we mentioned earlier, which is this U1 gauge theory, which are both gauge field as well as the fermions, which is known to be very challenged because of the gauge field is continuous. And then the fermion also have the anti-symmetries as well as the fermionic side problem and also need to satisfy the Gauss law. So here we developed this idea called gauge fermion flow nets, which we are able to obey all the symmetry of both the Gauss law symmetry and the symmetries. And then we can also represent a U1 field without cutoff. And then we studied various of very interesting physics in this 2+1D QED at finite density, which is known of the psi problem, such as the string breaking, charge crystal phase transition, and the magnetic phase transitions. So for example, this is one of the string breaking and the confinement effect we can see when we put two charge together. And also very recently, we further take a step forward, not just consider the lattice gate theory, but we want to think about the continuous field theory. So we have developed this idea called neural quantum field state for continuous quantum field theory with application to Linnager model, Kerr-Gross Sutherland model, and the regularized plane Gordon model. So they also have very good performance compared to other methods. And this also motivated by this idea called continuous MPS, and with the goal that we can actually go forward to describe these continual MPS problems, but in higher dimensions, as well as when there's a potential that's not translational invariant, which somehow could be hard for the CMPS. So this is some of the reason what that we have been looking into in the simulation quantum field series. I would be also glad to discuss more if people have other suggestions or comments. So the next thing I also want to discuss a bit more is that on the real-time quantum dynamics, which also under this topic of AI for quantum. So previously, I more focused on the ground state properties of both strongly correlated systems as well as quantum field theory. So here, I want to also talk about some efforts that we have been working on the real-time quantum dynamics. So here, we study from this question from a slightly different perspective than the usual approach by asking these questions. What's the connection of the quantum world and the classical world? So in the quantum world, we have the density matrix and the unitary gate. And then we try to ask these questions. Can we make the quantum theory or the quantum world as close as possible to the classical world by mapping the density matrix to the probability? And then the unitary gate to some stochastic matrix, or more precisely, we call this quasi-stochastic matrix. So if this quasi-stochastic matrix becomes stochastic, then purely this problem is somehow classical. So we try to utilize this structure to see whether we can also get more physics. So it turns out this mapping exists, and also first in this idea called POVM measurement, which is called a positive operator value measurement. So this is different than the projected measurements usually we learn in the textbook. So this measurement is able to get all the information of a density matrix, including both the amplitude and the phase informations. So for example, there's one kind of POVM called tetrahedral POVM. And then there are these four, like a projector one can measure. And then one can have a one-to-one correspondence between this density matrix and the probability. So this approach was also first utilized by like a Roger Michael here with Huang and other people to do this neural network POVM reconstruction for quantum state, which turned out to be very a nice approach. So more precisely, we can also describe this procedure by the tensor network diagram. So basically, one can convert a probability distribution to a density matrix and vice versa. And then for the unitary operator acting on the density matrix, one can convert this unitary circuit into a stochastic circuit. Where this stochastic or quasi-stochastic circuit, where these gates have also a connection to the unitary matrix as well. Then now this problem becomes a problem, how to simulate the evolution of probability. So that actually motivates us to have this intuition that we can treat qubits as a language. Because now these quantum problems becomes a high dimensional probability problems on top of qubit. And then we know that by this advancement of large language model, it seems that this large language model is very powerful to capture complicated long-range correlation in high dimension. So we are thinking about whether we can use a transformer to represent such probabilistic representation of the quantum systems. So this transformer is one very powerful architecture people propose first in this paper called attention is all you need, where people can do conditional probability for exact sampling and inference and very powerful representation for high dimension distribution. So this also falls into this category of autoregressive neural network, but with this mechanism called attention to capture correlation. So utilize this approach, we can simulate like quantum state preparation for many qubits. We also further extend this approach to do physics problems in open system. So for open quantum systems, which is a more general form than closed systems, so usually people can only consider the system itself, then it's a closed system. But then if we consider there's a dissipated environment that couples to the system, which they have interaction, then the density matrix evolution will be modified, not just even this closed system term, but then they will also have a dissipated environment term that talk about how the system leakage happens. So by using this POVN formulation now, we are able to convert this density matrix representation to the probabilistic differential equation. So that actually becomes a high dimensional probability distribution as the first order differentiations with respect to P, and they're evolving by this new Liouvillian operator. We can also efficiently compute. So based on that, we can actually simulate both the dynamics and the static states for this model. So to simulate the dynamic, we use this idea for the forward-backward approach, where we are able to, for example, first represent the transformer and high step PT. And then if we want to get the representation in the future at 2 tau, then actually we can first backward evolution this target distribution, and then forward evolution the existing distribution, and then they should agree in this midpoint. And then this defines a loss function, and we can minimize it. So, and then we iterate this procedure such that we have a representation for multi-step in the future. And we can also solve the static state directly by minimizing the derivative of this static state to become zero. So both approach can be efficiently realized. So we test this approach on various model, including dissipated transverse eigen model, Heisenberg model. So we also compare this approach to the density matrix RBM, which also proposed earlier. We found that the POVN transformation representation has actually better representability as well as the performance for the static state calculation. And then we also can also do this for the 2D dynamics, which is also pretty well, as well as a 1D dynamic with a large spin, many spins. So further work in the reason also work we have is to further develop this idea for continuous variables quantum dynamics. So we developed this idea called Q-float, which we utilize the generative modeling of differential equation of open quantum dynamics using normalizing flow. So the key idea here is that in the original problem for the open, for example, open bosonic system problem, we have the differential equations in density matrix. But now we utilize a formulation called the Fusumi Q function of phase space representation. Then we can transform this equation to a probability distribution. And then now we can modify this continuous probability distribution using normalizing floats. And then we developed this called the KR-Euler method, which is a method of generalizing the stochastic, generalizing the first Euler method from numerical analysis to a high dimensional space using stochastic method. And then we also benchmark our method in different models to show quite good performance. So along this side, I will also talk about another approach, slightly different in the sense that, not slightly different, but different in the sense that in the previous approach, we all try to solve this dynamic step by step. But then we can also ask the question, can we solve all the dynamic, all tie step at once? So inspired by these questions, actually we developed this idea called space-time neural network for high-dimensional quantum dynamics. So now we can actually construct a new network, which is also tie-dependent for all the tie step. Then we can construct both an internal temporal neural network and external spatial neural network, which includes all the tie step optimizations in one step. And then we can solve this optimization, and then we get all the prediction for the tie directly. So this idea mathematically is also very connected to this called Feynman-Kittas clock idea for tie evolutions. So this is like a discussion on the real tie quantum dynamics. If people have any comments or things want to discuss more, I can also talk more here. So now maybe I can move to the next part of the talk, which we want to talk about more. but not on many body physics, but more on the focus of quantum information science. So besides the simulation of quantum many body physics we talked about earlier, machine learning also has a very interesting implications on quantum information. So here are two works I recently also worked on. One is on the quantum control perspective. So this work is that we look for the protocol discovery of quantum control of neuroners by differential programming and natural evolution strategies. So here the idea is that, for example, for some of this model, people may consider like a topological gradient of Majorana mode. So in particular here, for example, we can show this 1D KTEF chain of the Majorana zero mode, and then maybe you want to move this mode from left to right. And we know that if there's a long time, we can do this procedure, then we can move this adiabatically such that this mode is protected. But in reality, they may have a tie constraint to move this mode due to the coherence tie or something. So you want to move it somehow relatively fast, but we cannot move it too fast. If we move too fast, that exceeds the gap, then this mode is also destroyed. So now this becomes a question, how to balance this trade-off of moving it fast as well as preserving the fidelity. So basically what it means is that we want to look for a strategy of moving this Majorana zero mode such that it goes from one side to the others, but then the infidelity after moving it is low. So more precisely, one can try to consider such phase diagram where the vertical axis, the L, is the distance to move. And then the horizontal ST is the tie that one allows to move. So for example, if one have this very long tie between, one can move this Majorana zero mode adiabatically. But if one only allow it to move it in a very short tie limits, but in a long distance, then it may get to this non-adiabatic regime. We know that there's a critical velocity that separates this in the sense that one cannot move too fast beyond this gap, otherwise it will destroy this zero mode. So now, in the previous literature, people have a understanding on the adiabatic regime, but there's not much knowledge on what happens if we are not allowing to move adiabatically. So in this work, we actually develop machine learning techniques to actually look for protocols in all these different regimes. So the key idea here is that we can define this loss function of the infidelity. And we notice that this loss function, because this is more like a mean field of BDG Hamiltonian, such that we can actually differentiate this loss function directly using differential programming. And this is also another technique we developed here is called utilize, actually, is the natural evolution strategy, where we can actually consider a family or ensemble of protocol fulfill a certain distribution. And then we can compute the loss of this infidelity over this ensemble. And then we can do evolution on this ensemble. And then to update this ensemble such that it converges to the optimal ensemble. So to be more concrete, we actually develop all these different approach of differential programming, natural evolution, and also computing with the simulated annealing approach. So interestingly, they actually the differential programming and the natural language, the natural evolution strategy actually figure out similar protocol but different than the simulated annealing. So what happened is that there's two main protocols we have discovered. One protocol actually is the rank up and rank down protocol automatically discovered, but this is more like a rediscovery in the sense that this is actually the optimal protocol people know that in the adiabatic regime. But there's an interesting jump move jump protocol that's been discovered in both the differentiable programming and the natural evolution strategy. So this protocol basically says that the particle wants to first jump very quickly and then move in a linear speed and then jump back. So at first we are very intrigued by this protocol and wondering whether this is some numerical effect or things because it has this huge jump. But later we have performed a moving frame analysis and actually theoretically understand this actually is, have a lower fidelity. And the intuition one can think about that is that in this very fast jump, it does lose some infidelity, but then it actually shorten the distance a lot such that one can move this speed roughly below the gap of the critical velocity such that it have a very small loss of the infidelity. So that's the one picture one can understand. So that's also another work besides the content control. Recently, we have been looking at is on content optimizations and machine learning, which we utilize this idea called Koopman operator theory. So basically, the main motivation here is that in content optimization, like a VQE or QA or something, or content machine learning in the variation approach, one needs to take gradients. And the cost of taking gradient is scaled with the number of parameters. For example, if one wants to use the parameter shift group. So then we want to develop an approach whether we can reduce the complexity of taking gradients. So the high level idea here is that we used to like this theory called Koopman operator theory, which we view the gradients or the content gradient procedure on the parameter space as a dynamical equation. And then we can solve this dynamical equation using Koopman operator theory. So the high level idea is that the Koopman operator theory is designed to solve a classical differential equation. So this is a nonlinear differential equation governed by this FS. But then the theory claims that one can actually embed this classical variable to a high dimensional space such that this nonlinear classical low dimensional equation becomes the unitary evolution in this embedding space. So inspired by this idea, actually we can view the gradient dynamics as a classical variable dynamic because the parameter is really is a classical variable, it's not a quantum variable. And then we can ask this question whether we can look for embedding of these quantum gradients. So basically in this approach, we found that in general, if one wants to compute a gradient directly, one always needs of the scaling of number of parameters. But now we can actually predict this gradient directly using this operator approach and verify on common computer such that we would get rid of this complexity of number parameters. So here is, for example, one example, we show the performance of this approach on like a 10 qubit IC model. We have a number of examples in the work, but just as an illustration here. So for example, this dashed line is the prediction. So basically, if one do the VQE directly, one may need to do 1,000 iterations, taking gradient of 1,000 iterations. But then actually, if we can predict the gradient very quickly, we can just use like a 20 step to reach the same answer as this 100 step. So that can help to accelerate the quantum optimizations as well as quantum machine learning in practice. So I think that actually concludes some of my discussion here on the applications of quantum informations and machine learning. So if people have any thoughts or ideas to discuss more, I can also talk more here.
Yeah, can I ask something about this part, about the Koopman operator theory?
Yeah.
So what is in the end the thing that you need to get out of the quantum computer? Like what is the observable you need to estimate here to do this dynamic resolution?
Yeah, that's a very good point. So the key question we ask here is that how to update this parameter theta. Right? So the parameter theta actually is the classical observable because in quantum circuit, the parameter have only polynomial number there. Right? And then actually we want to, but still it's not trick to attain the dynamic of the parameter because if we do the parameter shift rule, so each step we need to compute the gradient for all the parameter one by one. So this scaling is scaled with number of parameters. But at the same time, we can view the gradient update, I mean, of this parameter as a differential equation on this parameter, which is very complicated. Like this parameter, if we try to keep track of its high evolution, maybe to be some complicated evolutions. But the Koopman operator's theory says that we can look for embedding to embed this parameter on our quantum device to some functions in this embedding space, such that this dynamic becomes linear, right? So once they become linear, then now we don't need to compute any gradient in the future. We can just do linear regression to predict the future gradient. And then once we predict the future gradient, we can just check the energy of this prediction on the quantum computer directly. And this is the cost of just measuring energy. So this cost does not scale with number of parameters anymore. So that's basically the high level idea, how we can accelerate this computation. Does that make sense or anything that I can further elaborate?
So you only need to estimate the energies at every step to do this procedure?
Yes, we only need to have energy measurements as well as the value of this parameter. But this value of parameter, we can always read directly. So we just need some history of the parameter at the beginning for a few steps. That's the training data. And then once we train this few steps, we look for, we can figure out the embedding, and then we can predict the other the future tie step parameter directly.
I see. Yeah, cool.
Yeah. I have a short question. Do you hear me?
Yes.
Thanks for a nice talk. See, I am an outsider, and this famous paper, All You Need Is Attention, the transformer paper, is being used. So I want to know, when we do theoretical physics, you know, when you do modeling or when you solve the problem analytically, we pay a lot of attention to details and concepts and so on. So in this problem, maybe already you explained it, what do we pay attention at? What do we look for? Can you illustrate it with a simple example? Suppose you don't pay attention and you blindly go, and then you pay attention and then you reach a different or efficient goal. How do you, sorry for a very naive question.
I think this is a very important question, actually. Personally, I'm also quite intrigued by these questions. So I mentioned earlier that, for example, some dissimulation, we use transformers. But there's also other, research, do not use transformers. So for example, I think like Roland and Roger Melko and other people in parameter also use this RNN wave function, which is very powerful. So there, I think this is an option. It's more broadly, under this name called autoregressive neural network. Some may have attention, some may not have attentions, but they may all somehow work, on different contexts and scenarios. I think on that part, whether to have attention or not, I think the question just in the context of simulations, maybe another question to us is that whether which answer capture the underlying correlation of the system more properly. So sometimes if this system, for example, is gap, we have the short range correlation like that decays exponentially very quickly. One may not need to use this transformer. Maybe some convolution like a piece of CNN or something can already capture correlation very well. So it doesn't need to have short range correlation. It doesn't need to have transformer. But if there's system, some long range correlations are very complicated, then maybe attention is a good idea because it can capture this correlation mode. But then I think there's a more broad question that actually interesting is that more in the computer science perspective, like this transformer, because it decides to understand language, it does have some logical structure or saying some things more important than others. But in here, can we still get some intuition on what is important than other or something? I think it's an open question to me, at least, but I think it's an important question. It's more beyond the question of quantum many-body simulation. For example, can we design something like a quantum GPT, right? We can ask in some question and then provide some solution or something, or some intuition or explanation of the physics of the underlying model. So I think that would be a very interesting question. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, I guess I just want to conclude the talk here, like which I want to maybe the most important message I want to discuss today is that there are new opportunities for machine learning for simulating quantum many-body physics with quantum informations. Definitely, there are lots of open questions on symmetry, on how to understand neural networks and study different physics of quantum information. I think also people in Parameter Institute are also doing very interesting work. I will also be very glad to discuss more. Finally, I want to also thank some of my collaborators here, which I learned a lot from them and also do a lot of good work together. Yeah, thanks a lot for the attention.
Is there any more questions? Okay, that's today's Zoom meeting. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, Dee, again.
Thanks a lot.